Hello and welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight, which comes to you from the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman taking you up to the hour, so I hope you can stay with us. Big show coming up. Always try to bring you an interesting show and keep you up to date with what's happening. A little later in the program, Sarush Razi and Betty Campbell from the ALS, from our Civil and Human Rights Unit, will be popping in for a chat. They've just returned from Kalumburu and Wyndham, been running some community legal education workshops up there and meeting community members and visiting different organisations and driving along the Gibb River Road and having an amazing time and meeting some amazing people. So, more regional workshops are coming up as well. So it's a really important part of the work that the ALS does. I think a lot of people might think that we just represent people in court or and it's all criminal charges, but it's much more than that. There's family law and civil law and human rights and a whole lot of stuff going on. So if you ever want to find out a little bit more about what we do, jump on our website at www.als.org.au and check it out. But to kick off our program this week, really, really important interview. This month, September 2013, marks 30 years since the death of John Pat in Roebourne. Incredible to think that 30 years has passed, and I think from most people's perspective, there is still a lot that needs to be done to address this issue and the fact that it happened in the first place and that something like this should never be able to happen again. And so joining us on the program now is Mark Newhouse. Now, many of you would know of Mark from his very heavy involvement with the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee from Western Australia. They have organised this National Day of Action for what's happening in WA. And Mark joins us on the program. Mark, your first time on our program. Thanks for popping in.
Thank you very much, Jodie. Pleased to be here.
Before we talk about this significant event happening this month, let's talk about the role of the Watch Committee, how it was set up and why it was set up.
Look, it was set up in 1994, and that was following just after the Royal Commission recommendations were released publicly. And our view was, the view at the time was that unless there were organisations, grassroots organisations around the country to monitor and pressure government to take the recommendations seriously and implement them and report back, that it would not happen. But despite all of our efforts, including the Aboriginal Legal Services across the country, and some progress was made, but unfortunately, from where we sit now, many of those recommendations remain either unimplemented or abandoned, and that's of serious concern to us.
I'm presuming that the Watch Committee continues its work due largely to the goodwill of community members.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Watch Committee would simply not survive if it wasn't with the support of volunteers, community members, other organisations, and we continue to do what we can within limited means, really.
I jump on your website regularly, Mark, and it's a modern age now, isn't it? But gee, it's an effective way of getting the word out and linking into other services and getting your message out there instantly internationally. Hey,
yeah, that's correct, and We often get calls from family members from around the country because they've looked it up and seen Deaths in Custody, and we will then refer them to similar organisations close to them.
We were talking before the show and saying incredible to think that it is 30 years since the tragic passing of young John Pat at the age of 16. You were saying that at that time, 30 years ago, you'd only recently arrived in Australia. But you said that there was heavy saturation of media coverage at that time on this issue.
Yeah, and one of the people that will be speaking on the 25th Parliament, when we have the memorial ceremony and rally, is Auntie Helen Corbett, who was one of the co founders of the Black Deaths, a community to defend Black Deaths, and Helen, together with many others, toured the country, speaking and talking to family members that had lost people in custody, and from there that developed a groundswell of pressure on government to start the Royal Commission, which Bob Hawke did at that time.
Wednesday, the 25th of September, is the date of the National Day of Action. Here in Perth, there'll be a remembrance ceremony, a rally and an apology motion. Give us an insight into what people can expect on that date.
Okay, well, I think the thing that has struck me the most was when I met with Mavis Pat last year, and these are her words: "My son has never left me. I remember him every day. There forever remains a hole in my heart. I hoped much would change since the Royal Commission, but sadly it appears little has changed." This is an opportunity on the 25th of this month for everyone in the community who has either lost someone in police or prison custody, or has family members that have had contact with the criminal justice system, as well as all of those who are concerned about the disgraceful rate at which the state imprisons Aboriginal people in Western Australia. So the key things are, on the day, there'll be an apology motion, because there was never an apology given from the government to the Pat family and to his mother for his death and the way that he died. So an apology motion will be put to Parliament on the 25th of September, and that motion is going to be put by the Leader of the Opposition, and we want people there to witness that apology motion, whichever way it goes. And so that's something that's really significant, and in a sense it's not just an apology to that family, but all families from our point of view. And we're going to encourage people to witness that debate in Parliament. The other things that are going to occur: there will be a ceremony to remember John Pat and honour him and all those that have died in police and prison custody. There'll be a number of speakers. John Bedford from the Aboriginal Legal Service, the Acting Executive Officer, will be speaking. Auntie Helen Corbett, the other person is Lewis Abdullah, who is WA Young Person of the Year, as well as, most importantly, members of the Pat family, who will be travelling down to Perth from Roebourne to be a part of and witness this event.
When a lot of our people pass away, obviously the name isn't spoken, but you did have permission in this instance to use the name?
That's correct, yeah, and we've been very careful not to offend, but in this instance the family has given us authorisation.
I'm speaking with Mark Newhouse from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee WA branch, and we're going to have some music and come back and have a chat for a bit longer, Mark, if that's cool with you.
That's fine, thank you.
Okay, this is Law Matters on Noongar Digital Radio 100.9 FM, and this program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. This is the Law Matters radio program. It comes to you every second Wednesday, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Repeated Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and after broadcast goes onto our website as well. So you can listen to it afterwards as well. Plenty of opportunities, and we really appreciate you tuning in each fortnight and try our utmost to bring you really important information. And today's program is no different. Within the studio today, Mark Newhouse from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, as we've been talking about the very significant 30th anniversary of the passing of young John Pat in Roebourne 30 years ago. It really is incredible to think that it's that long. And the National Day of Action, Mark, is a National Day of Action. This is an event that happened and changed the lives for so many people in Roebourne 30 years ago, but the whole country is behind this, isn't it?
Look, absolutely. The planning has been going on for quite some time. We hooked up with other organisations in other states from Melbourne, Sydney, Cairns, South Australia, and we had a national telephone conference, and we did two things. One was work out how we were going to work together to for this National Day of Action, but the important thing was the formation of a national body to start working collectively around the country.
And just let us know, it's going to be at Parliament in Perth, the WA one, but what are you going to be calling on the government to do?
Well, the first one is an unreserved apology to Mrs. Pat, Mavis Pat, the mother and the family, and to make an unreserved apology. The other one is to stop denying that systemic racism exists in the criminal justice system. It clearly does. The evidence is obvious. What we want to see is a huge reduction in the number of people that are imprisoned. And we fully support the implementation of justice reinvestment. And we want to see a trial of that happening in Western Australia sooner rather than later. So the other things are an audit of what recommendations from the Royal Commission have in fact been implemented. Because to answer that question is almost impossible at the moment. So we need to get the facts about this. The other issue is the practice of police investigating the police when there's complaints or allegations of assaults and so on. We don't believe, and many in the community don't believe, that the police should be responsible for those investigations, and that what we're calling for is a independent body with legal powers to investigate complaints against police and corrective services. The other thing is we want, really, really shocking is that there's never been anyone charged for a death in custody in Australia or found guilty. What we're therefore calling on is that legislation is passed so that when there is a death in custody, that depending on what the circumstances are, if criminal charges are warranted, that they can then be laid under this legislation against both governments, private corporations, and individuals. We think that's really important. And also, mandatory sentencing just needs to be abolished, from our point of view. So those are some of the key things that we're calling for. If we get two of those, we'd be very happy.
And it's important for people to know as well that the Watch Committee and the work that you do has not only Aboriginal supporters. We have so many non-Aboriginal supporters out in the community who share the outrage and come along and offer their assistance. It's not an Aboriginal issue, for want of a better term.
This is
a thing that affects all Australians.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Watch Committee in Western Australia has taken that view, and that it's important to work alongside each other to make change happen that needs to happen.
So we'll give all the details out in a few minutes, but I did want to mention as well that earlier this year on ABC TV, on their 7:30 program, they ran a story about a commemorative CD collaboration that was made.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that, because this month in Perth as well, there's going to be a CD launch and fundraiser for the John Pat Memorial.
Yeah, we've been working very closely with an organisation called Big Heart, and they've set up had a project running in Roebourne called Yiliyala, and they've been top musicians from around the country, Archie Roach and many others, have been working with the with community members and prisoners in Roebourne to produce the CD, which will be launched, and all the funds from that will be donated to set up and establish a John Pat Memorial in Roebourne itself. So, yeah, it's very exciting, and along with that, they've also done a play which is touring nationally, and we're very excited to be supporting that event, and we congratulate them on that.
Yeah, so look, I'll just give the information for that. Sunday the 29th of September, the John Pat Memorial CD launch and fundraiser. That's the long weekend, and it's at the Fly By Night Club, and Big Heart will be launching that CD to honour John Pat on the 30th anniversary of his passing. The CD will be released is the work of Roebourne community and inmates in the Roebourne prison, along with some of Australia's best musos, singers and songwriters, and the memory of John Pat will live on through the music of his people. So if you want any more information about that, jump onto the Fly By Night website, www.flybynight.org. And Mark, I appreciate you coming in today and telling us not only about this important event this month, but also about the role of the Watch Committee. And wouldn't it be great to wake up one day and not need your organisation anymore?
That's what we're working towards.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jodie.
Let's run through these details. National Day of Actions to Stop Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. John Pat died 30 years ago this month, but still no justice. Remembrance ceremony, rally, apology motion. You can get involved on Wednesday, the 25th of September. You're asked to assemble at 4 o'clock at Parliament House in Perth. Speakers include member of the Pat family, Lewis Abdullah, the WA Young Person of the Year, Green Senator Rachel Seward, John Bedford, the Acting CEO and our Executive Officer of the Aboriginal Legal Service, Helen Corbett. There will be performances from the Halo Dance Group. John Bennett will be performing with other musos from the Murrow CD and the Yidjala Yala project that is dedicated to this young man. And he will never be forgotten, will he?
No.
Mark Newhouse from the Watch Committee, if people want more information about this day, what do they do?
Look, they can just either ring me on 0415 074602 or go to our website, which is www.deathsincustody.org.au. So we encourage people to get involved, and we're also looking for volunteers to help put leaflets out and hand leaflets out to the public and talk to your friends, your families, workmates, everyone, and encourage them to come along. If everyone brings five people, we're going to have we'll be able to send a very strong and clear message to the government that change is absolutely necessary, and it needs to happen now.
There really is nothing like people power, and I'm sure you'll get a very strong turnout for such an important event honouring the memory of this young man.
Thank you, Jodie.
Mark Newhouse from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee joining us on Law Matters. 6 NME 100.9 FM Noongar Radio. We'll be back in a moment having a chat with Sarush Razi and Betty Campbell from the ALS. Do stay tuned. This is Law Matters. In Perth and regional WA and the legal workshops is taking you guys all over the states. Sarush and Betty, welcome to the program.
G'day, Jodie. Thanks.
Hi, Jodie.
Where you been? Tell us what's been happening.
Well, let me give some background first. I suppose we've just started this new project to work in regional Australia, WA. And so we launched the program last week, and I'm going to be based every 2 months in the East Kimberley. Now, the East Kimberley is huge, right? So within that, we're going to try and get out to some of the smaller hubs within there. So obviously, the base is Kununurra itself, but hopefully every couple of trips we'll manage to move up and get to Kalumburu, which it'll be a bit harder in the wet season. And then we can also go down south, heading down to Halls Creek and Balgo. So that's kind of the region that I'm focused on. Betty's our community legal education officer, so she came on to do the community legal education type of work.
Yeah, so that was really good. We went up armed with a range of community legal education topics. We had criminal injuries compensation, we had racial discrimination, we had consumer issues, and then in our back pocket, just in case, we had some information on wills. So a huge range of topics that we talked to the community about and provided information on. We were kindly equipped with some materials from the ACCC and the Department of Commerce, some really relevant community legal education materials around consumer rights, and they were short YouTube videos and, you know, a song called Don't Come Knocking, which talks about your rights when, you know, basically someone comes and knocks on your door and tries to sell you something and won't leave when you ask them to, what your rights are. So we left those with service providers all over the East Kimberley, in Kununurra, Wyndham and in Kalumburoo. So hopefully that'll get some really important messages out there as well. And we just had a really, really positive response from all of the communities that we went to, and some really good stakeholder engagement as well.
Mm. Bit different to running communities in running workshops within the four walls of the ALS boardroom, hey?
Yes.
No, absolutely. And even just the trip out is, I think, important. Initially, we had tried to actually fly up there, but it was a bit difficult, so we decided to drive while it was still dry. It was a fantastic experience for us, partly just to understand how remote it is for people coming in and out, and how expensive it is for people to try and get to the closest hospital.
Mm, so I remember before we went up, we were mapping out the drive, and we were trying to work out just from the map where the sealed road ends, and we thought, nah, you know, the Gibb River Road, it'll be sealed all the way up to the Kalumburoo turnoff and then it won't be a problem. And just the difference between looking at the road on a map and driving it was insanely different. You know, you come to a T-junction instead of a corner, you know, for the turnoff to Kalumburoo, the sealed road ends as soon as you get past El Cuestro, and we're pretty sure that it would end before then if El Cuestro wasn't so concerned about making sure its tourists could get there easily. So it was just a really eye-opening experience, I think. Just to see what people have to do on a regular basis to get in and out of there, because not everyone can afford to charter a plane and not everyone wants to fly. So.
And practical things as well. My mum, I called home and mum was like, well, what do you do if you need, you know, emergency health services? You know, the closest place is 570 kilometres away in Wyndham. So they're practical things that I think it's important for lawyers to understand if they're working in communities like that.
What communities did you visit?
So we got in last Monday, and the Sunday before, and then we spent the Monday in Kununurra itself. We were in and around the health service. It's a good place because people come in and I suppose they can see, you know, while they're getting checked up by nurses and doctors, they can see the ALS is up there and ask about the kind of work we do. And then on the Tuesday we went to Wyndham, and we worked in the sobering up shelter there. Now Wyndham, somewhere a fair bit smaller than Kununurra, so once you're there, people know, you know, word gets around. And then on the Wednesday we did the drive, 9 hours straight, essentially.
Between three drivers.
You have some good driving music?
Not on the way there, we didn't. Yeah. We tried to invest in a CD, and then we thought, oh, the corrugation is just going to tear it to pieces. But on the way back we did.
Probably lost a few pounds on that bumper.
Look, I like Hunters and Collectors as much as the next person, but by the sixth or seventh time on a corrugated road... It probably gets a bit much.
And we would like to say that we lost a couple of kilos, but unfortunately our travelling food was just likely to not help us lose any kind of weight.
I bet you were paying some big prices. Fuel, food, the things we take for granted, is just being able to go out and get every
fuel
day.
Fuel in Kununurra is expensive,
yes,
right? It's probably about $1.70 a litre.
Yeah, $1.79.
$1.79. We got to Kalumburoo and fuel was at $2.79.
Whoa.
So just understanding what the practical limitations are. One of the people
we
spoke to...
We bought eggs at some point for $10. One carton of eggs, $10.
Yes.
One of the people we spoke to, we said, well, what are the civil issues? And one of the people we spoke to said, more than anything, it's just the cost of living here. Mm. Practically, when you add up exactly what Betty said, just a carton of eggs, and then on top of that, you need to fly to Kununurra for a health service or something, it stacks up, doesn't it?
It does. I remember speaking to someone who ran a roadhouse up north some years back, and they'd get six monthly drops And they said, oh, it's terrible when you get to March, your next drop's not till July, and you've run out of ice cream.
And look, a couple of years ago, the roads, there was a really wild wet season, and so the Columba Road had massive gaping holes in it, and it really wasn't navigable. So we didn't know how much better it would have been. But actually, the road was well graded, except for the last hour, which was a bit rough. Mm. But... You know,
and
that
it's also because of the terrain you're going over. It stops from being like your dirt track to you're going over, you know, you're going into a rocky sort of area with gorges and things like that. So the track is, it's not even possible to grade it anymore because it's in such a different environment. And that was one thing that was really interesting about the drive as well, was you go from this semi-arid sort of vegetation in Kununurra, and you work your way through, and then at one point you look around and suddenly you're in a palm forest and you think, what happened here? And then you keep going and it goes back to being semi-arid, and then, you know, another hour later you're surrounded by sandstone cliffs, you know, and it's just crazy how diverse an 8-hour drive can be in the same region.
Look, you get right to the end and then you're basically at the beach, and you get back and you see the boabs again and all the sea life that people told us were there, you know, crocs and sharks and turtles.
And it's not just the diversity of the country, is it? It's I imagine you're finding out very quickly that from community to community there's an enormous diversity, and there's no one workshop format fits all. I imagine you're just happy having to turn up and work in with community, and people will be involved and tell you what their needs are for that community.
Look, absolutely. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's exactly it. When we were at the Sobering Up Shelter with Now Hour, we met their new CEO, and we were discussing different ways to get a more active involvement and interest in workshops and how they would run. And he was very proactive and gave us a whole range of suggestions that just wouldn't work in Columbaroo, because they have different facilities, they have a different mix of people. You know, in Columbaroo, we basically set up outside the local shop and people came and talked to us, and, you know, it was much more a case of, here are some materials we have, we'll leave them with you, and just talking to people on an individual basis. And, you know, some of the clients we talked to, we couldn't even help them with their legal advice, but in answering their questions we helped them understand the law a little bit better and what their rights are and things like that. So it was very, very different, very diverse, and I guess that's what I meant when I said we went armed with all this information but not necessarily a concrete plan as to how to deliver it.
Mm. And how important is it to you both, given that you are going to be doing this travelling and meeting so many of our community members out on the road, that you get a greater picture of services in the regions? Because that's a really important part, isn't it, of sort of networking and touching base with the local service providers, so that it's not just you guys turn up, you're a few days there, but there's lasting legacies from each visit.
Absolutely. Firstly, there's only so much you can do from Perth. So, and then because we're only out once every 2 months, there's only so much we can do in the interim as well. Without those relationships, you know, our work would be really extremely difficult. So, and there are fantastic people out there, people that are really switched on, who really, whose communities really matter to them. And so when you link in with someone like that, who understands the issues, and I suppose, you know, not going in gung-ho, going in and just asking questions and listening. So we linked in with all the stakeholders in Columbaroo, in Wyndham, in Kununurra, and that's a chief part of what we'll be doing. They're the ears and eyes on the ground.
And isn't it a shame that most of the time we're just reading sensationalist reports on when things aren't going well, and people do forget that there's all these amazing people who are striving so hard in the communities and doing great jobs. There's wonderful community initiatives in place. There's really positive work happening on so many levels that we don't hear about enough.
Definitely. Columbaroo was a beautiful community, and, you know, the work that the people that we worked with the corporation there were doing, they were doing amazing things, I think, just engaging with kids in the afternoons and just kind of making sure that the community had an outlet for different activities and a lot of the different services that go up there once a month as well. You don't hear about that so much. You just, you know, when it's court day, I suppose, people get such a narrow view of what the community is. And that's why it's important for us to to be there outside of necessarily court days, because civil work is so much broader. It's not just being inside a courtroom. Quite often you've got to go and engage with the stakeholders, let the clients know. It's a very difficult question for people to understand what civil law is. I think I've got trouble myself understanding it half of the time. And, you know, people will come up and they're like, well, what is civil law? I said, well, it's generally things that aren't criminal law. And what does that mean, you know? So you have to come up with concrete examples to people. People know the penal system. People know what criminal is. But to understand everything else is a bit difficult.
And more than that, there's the added difficulty of the limitations that ALS has because of our funding guidelines. So it's one thing to say this is what civil law is, and then somebody comes up and says, so do you do land stuff? And you say, oh, well, no, we don't do land stuff. I mean, it is civil law, but we don't do that. And so then it becomes further complicated. There's no easy answer, I guess, for community, and that's what makes it difficult for us is we want to educate people on what civil law is broadly, but we don't want to confuse them as to the services that we provide or the services that other providers who are going there might provide. So it is difficult and challenging to find the right balance between, you know, information education and making sure people just don't get overloaded by information. So
I want to hear more about the community spirit of the places you visited, and also how you were received when you arrived at each community. Because as you say, Sarush, you know, some places are smaller than the other. You're there, everybody knows.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think from the perspective of communities generally, there is sometimes a reluctance to embrace services, because I suppose people have been coming to these places for years and years and years. And one thing I've experienced in my work, both here and in Queensland as well, is people spend a bit of time sizing you up pretty quickly, and they won't kind of lower their borders until they have a sense of you. And so initially I think it's just not going in gung-ho, just saying, oh, this is who we are, and kind of just hanging about the community.
Just being visible,
yeah.
Really, letting people see who you are and that you're not there to sort of try and change things overnight, or in fact change things at all, you know. In our case, we're not there to change how the community runs or operates or how people in the community live. We're there to assist them when perhaps the choices that they make aren't the choices that other people want them to make, or you know, that perhaps, you know, have just been difficult for them to overcome. So things like dealing with retailers, you know, when they do decide to make the 570k trip to Wyndham or something along those lines. So,
and look, we were there for 2 days. It was really in the second day that people started to come forward. And I completely understand that. If someone was coming into my town, I'd be like, well, who is this fella? And then in the second day, you know, we had been kind of participating in Child Protection Week event, and we ended up playing kites essentially with a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And I've got my Afghan kite runner experience, so I had some skills. I'm pretty sure I got the most kites the furthest up.
I've never flown a kite in my life.
So competitive.
Yeah, I had this beautiful young boy try and help me get a kite into the air for this other beautiful young boy, and by this time it was dusk and the wind was starting to die off, and we just didn't quite get enough lift to get the kites up, and it became this very interesting experience where you know, the young kids were teaching me exactly what it means to fly a kite, and I was getting shown up by elders and youngsters, and you know, some kids that could barely walk knew how to fly a kite better than I did. So that was an interesting experience.
But yeah, by the second day, I think that was the point that people started. We were just set up outside the corporation, and people started coming to us, just slowly asking questions and working out who we are and what we do and whether what we do can fit in with them.
And it's not about turning up somewhere and telling people this and that. It's a shared learning experience.
Absolutely.
I imagine that you guys are learning so much from community members that you're meeting on these trips that it's going to enhance the work that you're doing.
It's such an exchange. I think so, don't you?
Yeah, no, it really was. I learned so much from this trip, you know, through our court officer via the community. You know, I think on the second day after we literally just tried to be involved in the community in a positive way. So we helped run the barbecue for the kids event. We, you know, we did the kites and things like that. And during that process, we were meeting elders, and we weren't even talking about issues. We were just meeting one another. And then the next day, you know, like, you hear from our court officer that everyone obviously knows everyone else in communities. And so the next day, someone from the community came up and I said, oh, hi, you know, I'm Betty. And she said, yeah, I know. And I was like, well, I think that's a good thing that you actually know my name.
And I think they just struggled with mine.
I think Sarush, your name is very difficult for community members to get their head around. We'll need to come up with something short and simple.
I'm sure a lot of great information was exchanged between yourselves and community members, and I imagine there was quite a few laughs along the way.
I think once you get to Nolanki, you're pretty close to Kalumburu. Lanky's there, I think, the mascot Brolga, which just lurks around town. Very, very amusing for us, because we had demountables that we were sleeping in, and it'd start squawking in the middle of the night.
Betty's lost it. Did you get chased by Lanky or anything?
What was interesting was Lanky would not move. We had a four-wheel drive, so imagine this, you know, huge giant car, and this skinny Brolga would not get out of the road for anyone or anything.
And the interesting thing is, Sarusha's experience was after my first encounter with Lanky, and basically Lanky was on the side of the road and I was driving and I was nice and careful and I was like, okay, good, he's not going to step into the road. And then, I don't know, less than half a metre away from him, I'm driving at about 2Ks an hour, he just steps in front of the car in the middle of the road. I'm in the middle of the road trying to go around this bird, and he's just sort of steadily walking in front of my car. There's about two cars behind me that are trying to get to the Children's Week event, and, you know, and he just wouldn't move for the horn, wouldn't move for the lights. Just, he was just like, yeah, this is my spot. And I'm not moving. So he was a pretty interesting character.
Pretty strong message, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Hey, where to next and when?
So I suppose the way we will work is we'll have a lawyer stationed or be working within the six different kind of general regions that the state has. So we'll have someone going up to the East Kimberley, which would be myself. Paul Garzio, who's the managing lawyer of our unit, he'll be going up to the West Kimberley, and that's where he is this week. So he's in Broome, and then he'll be going to some of the regional communities through there. Then we'll have another lawyer who will be headed in going to the Pilbara region, so kind of Roebourne and Headland and all of that. Then hopefully we'll have another lawyer kind of in the Midwest and going up to Geraldton and the like. We'll have a lawyer in the Goldfields, and then finally a lawyer in the southern region. So look, it's just started, it's early days, and we're still working out all the different issues, but hopefully this will become an entrenched and important part of the work the unit does and what ALS does, I think.
Mm. Highlight of the trip, Betty?
Lanky.
Sarush?
Definitely. I'd say...
Besides the kites.
Yeah, I was going to say the kites. I'd say the community itself and, you know, I'm a real fan of Boabs. So anytime I'm anywhere close to a Boab, I just want to go out and hug one. I don't.
It's a little bit ridiculous, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you can go to King's Park.
Yeah, that's true.
That huge one. I think it was over 700 years old.
Do you know, actually,
and they transported it down here?
I actually saw the sister tree to that tree on
Did
the
you?
Drive down to Balgo.
Wow.
The service provider, the stakeholder who was driving with me when I was going to Balgo, she pointed it out to me. And that's really interesting to think that they're kind of brother and sister separated by, what, 2,000 Ks or something?
Something like that.
So we know that if you're having an extra long lunch, you're probably up at King's Park hugging the Balgo.
Something like that.
Hey, Betty Campbell and Sarush Razi, thank you for coming into Law Matters, and it's great to hear about these community trips, and I know it's definitely going to be making the service delivery by the ALS much better in communities, and it's just wonderful that you guys are doing it and getting so much out of it as well.
Thank you.
Betty and Sarusha from the Civil and Human Rights Unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, based in Perth, but getting out all over the place. So if you want any more information about those trips to regional areas, or in fact the workshops that we do run in Perth, you can ring our toll-free number 1-800-019-900. We also chuck information on our website at www.als.org.au, so keep an eye out on there to find out what's happening and all the latest news and information on our pamphlets, our annual reports, anything. It's all up there. So great that Betty and Suresh could come in and have a yarn with us today. And we are nearly out of time on the Law Matters program, but we do thank you for your company as always. And hopefully we'll go to news shortly. There's a few sort of signal issues with the weather. The inclement weather is sort of making the news cut in and out last hour. So let's see how we go for this hour. And if no news again this hour, then we'll cut to a song. Take it easy, and we look forward to your company again in a fortnight's time from Jody Hoffman and the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Take care and stay listening to Noongar Radio.